Good morning, everyone. My name's Ben. I think I recognize most of us here, but just in case we haven't met, my name's Ben. I'm one of the pastors here. It is good to gather with you, especially if I remember that I'm doing that. I want to confess something to you this week, and it's not just been this week, but for the last couple of weeks, I have felt my mind has been slipping a little bit. Anyone else felt that brain fog? Anyone? We have some honest people in here, and I trust some more honest people online. For whatever reason, this season has been that for me. I'm finding myself in a little bit of brain fog, and so I just wanted to apologize to you all for that, but also to say and suggest something if you remember it, if you are not also experiencing brain fog. If you ask me to do something, or if you've got something that you want me to respond to, a great way to do things is email. That's something I can always come back to and does not rely on my memory, which has been fading, as Demetris can attest this week, since she let me into the office twice within, what, 15 minutes? Yeah, it was one of those. So, anyways, if you want to help me out, shoot me an email, help me remember in that way. Two other things I remember. As you go out this morning, please remember there are sign-up sheets for small groups in the back. This is the last week we are going to be signing people up for small groups. Though, if you want to join after this, please say something and we will get you connected. If you are online, shoot me an email and we will be able to get you connected to small groups that way. If you are going to sign up, why not stop off by that circular table and also help us decide, choose somebody to help serve our church, nominate somebody as one of our elders. That's in the yellow box on the circle table over that way out there. Well, we are wrapping up our Renew series, and today we want to talk about the final word, which is this word, unleash. And this has been an interesting word for me to study on. I did a little bit of working on it on things last week, and it got me thinking. To be unleashed, there has to be something that's you know, holding, leashing. Like, if you unleash a dog, you've got a leash on the dog, and it all of a sudden gets let go, right? There is something to be unleashed. We have to acknowledge there's something that restrains or something that's holding something back. And I think for us as Christ followers, it's probably a little bit helpful if we talk about what might be holding us back, but then we look forward to what unleashes us. And so I want to talk just really quickly about what might hold us back first, because there are some things in our world that can hold us back. I think it's in Hebrews 12 where the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, let us throw off the everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The going against God, intentionally going against God's will, God's way, that's sin. That obviously restrains us, right? That holds us back from doing what God wants us to do. But there are other things other than, you know, just other than sin that holds us back from doing what God wants us to do. It's not just that. There are other things in our world that might hold us back that aren't sin, but still hold us back from doing what we can, what we could be doing for God's kingdom. And there are a number of things, hundreds, maybe thousands of things that could be holding us back. It might be worrying about your reputation might hold you back from doing something for God's kingdom. It could be fear that might hold you back from doing something for God's kingdom. It could be a number of other things, and this is one of those places where we as Christ followers get to reflect. We get to search our hearts and wonder and see and ask God to reveal to us, God, is there something in my life that is holding me back? But here's the good news. Jesus came to free us from bondage, to sin, to guilt, to shame, but Jesus also came to free us from the things that hold us back, and Jesus came to unleash us, the church, God's people, to share the good news about Him. He came to unleash us on the world. And so that's why Jesus' last words, the last words that Jesus speaks to the disciples while He was here on earth, that's why Jesus' last words are really important to us in Acts. So I want to encourage you, if you've got your Bible with you, we're going to go to Acts chapter 1. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts, which is actually Luke part 2. It's written by the same author as Luke, but we're going to be in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And at this point, Jesus has risen from the dead. He has been resurrected. He has appeared to the disciples. And people knew what that meant. The disciples, those that had followed Him, they knew what that meant. You are the Messiah, the Savior, the Chosen One. And the disciples had a question, a very specific question. They asked, so hey, Jesus, when's this all going to go down? The words they use are, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? They were thinking in a very Jewish way, what they had been taught their whole lives, that Jesus had come to restore Israel, that Jesus had come to free Israel from Rome, to make Israel its own nation again, and then lead Israel through a revival. It's not that they were ignoring the spiritual implications of what Jesus had done. It's that was part of it, but they expected this other thing. They said, are you here to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, no, not yet. But listen to what He says here in verse 8. Let me flip over to that on the screen. Acts 1, I'm just going to read verse 8 for us. You can see it there. Let me read 7. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know. So Jesus says, hey, not yet. But then verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be My witnesses, telling people about Me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus tells the disciples. Those are His last words to the disciples, because after this, He is taken up. He ascends to heaven. Jesus empowers the disciples, tells them, invites them, and shares with them, hey, your job is to go tell people about Me. Tell people about the good news that we find in Jesus, even to the ends of the earth. That was their job, and I think that's our job still today, because Jesus is still active and doing things today. Our job is to tell people, as Christians, our job is to tell people about Jesus, because Jesus is still on the move. When I say Jesus is on the move, has anyone read some literature that sounds similar to that? Something is on the move? Aslan is on the move. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Narnia. Fans of Narnia here. Obviously, yes. Praise God. Love that book. I loved that as a kid. It's this series written by man C.S. Lewis, and he wrote in this kind of fantasy allegory, which means kind of similar. It's meant to have similarities to the Bible. And the Jesus-looking character there is Aslan. He is this massive lion, this enormous lion. I think they did a movie on it a couple of years ago, and there are various movies out there on it. I know they did a massive Hollywood version. But if you saw that, you know that he's a massive lion. It's this huge lion, and this is supposed to be the Jesus character. But before we even meet Aslan, before we even meet him, I want to say I didn't get a chance to look at it this week. I think it's Mr. Beaver or Mrs. Beaver. It's a character that says in the book, Aslan is on the move. I got to confess, when I wrote this in my sermon this week, it brought me back to when I was a kid reading those Chronicles of Narnia, because I got chills when I read that for the first time. I didn't know what it meant, but I got chills, and I got chills this week too. When I wrote, I remembered this phrase, Aslan is on the move. Jesus is on the move. It's the same in our world today, where in the Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan came to free Narnia, their land, their world, from this perpetual winter. And people started noticing that winter's grip was breaking because spring was starting to come. Things were starting to melt. Christmas came. It hadn't been Christmas. And then spring was coming. There were these pieces, these little invasions of springtime. That's how they knew Aslan was on the move. We see Jesus on the move in our world in the same way. We see these little pieces where the kingdom of God is breaking into our world in the same way, by people being freed from what keeps them bound, people getting what they need, help that they need, people encountering Jesus and saying, you know, that's the way I want to live my life. I don't know much else, but I know I want to live my life the Jesus way. I need that new life that I only see in Jesus. And how we get there, how Christianity, how the church, how us as Jesus followers, how we get there is by sharing the good news of Jesus and telling people, knowing it ourselves, knowing that Jesus came to save us, and being willing, sharing with others, telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, our passage this morning. In it, Jesus says, you will receive power. The power to share the good news. The news of the life change that they see in following Jesus, in what Jesus did for all of us. And they clearly received that power, because we're still getting together every week talking about it 2,000 odd years later, right? How many things from 2,000 years ago do you think about on a weekly basis? Mount Vesuvius, anyone? No, I don't know if that was 2,000 years ago. Mount Vesuvius, the invention of fireworks. John, I think I heard our camera go off. You might want to click it. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, Robert will sneak back in a second if it's off. But these things from 2,000 years ago, we don't talk about them often, right? Because they don't impact our lives on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. Jesus does. And the reason that the church has had this staying power that it has is because those early Christians did receive power from the Holy Spirit. They did receive power. They kept receiving power from the Holy Spirit, which is God dwelling in us, which is God interacting with us, convicting us, gifting us, empowering us. We talked about it in Sunday school. Am I missing anything, Sherry, Rick, anything that we talked about? We talked about how the Holy Spirit helps us live the Jesus way, live that Jesus-filled life, being a messenger, a witness for Him. And sometimes being a witness for Jesus feels weird, because it feels both at the same time like you're doing a lot and not doing enough. It can feel both ways. It feels like it can be really hard to be a messenger for Jesus, to share with people that you love and care about, people that you meet, what Jesus has done for you. That can feel awkward. And at the same time, if all you're doing is being a messenger, just sharing what Jesus said, that can sometimes feel like you're not doing enough, like you're not not doing everything that you could. It doesn't feel like just being a witness to what Jesus did is earth-changing and world-changing. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples about this when they talked to him. I'm going to be in Matthew 10. Let me put it up here on the screen real quick. Matthew 10. I'll just read it for us. When you are arrested, don't worry about what or how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. We'd call that the Holy Spirit. When you are arrested. I always love that about this passage. Jesus assumes this. He assumes the disciples are going to be arrested for what they say, for what they do. It was a foregone conclusion for the disciples who Jesus was talking to. Thankfully, not for us. Thankfully, it is not a foregone conclusion we will be arrested for following Jesus. Though we acknowledge that is the reality for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. That is still their reality. But what he says, don't worry about how you will respond. God will give you the right words at the right time. This was said to the disciples, and so it's a little dangerous for us to, you know, immediately claim something that was said to one group of people in the Bible for us too. That it can get dangerous to claim that. We need to go into it with a little bit of discernment, but this is consistent with God's character, with who God is, that God will empower us to speak the right words at the right times too. Because it's not us who will be speaking, it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through us. And I don't know about you, but I haven't experienced things where, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks through me, and that means the Spirit takes over my entire body, and I have no memory of what's going on. That is what some people have experienced, have said they've experienced. That's not been my experience. But I think of when the Holy Spirit speaks through me, I think of when the Holy Spirit speaks through us. It's those moments of that little voice in the back of your head saying, hey, should you say something here? Or man, they really need an encouraging word. Or bring in a Bible passage to mind. The desire to speak encouragement to somebody. Those are when the Spirit speaks through us. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to live that Jesus-centered life. So my encouragement to us today. Throw off the sin that entangles. Those other things that might hold us back, that might restrain us from following God. Because we follow Jesus. We follow God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And our job, our goal as Christians is to share this good news, to be unleashed on the world so that more and more people would come to know Jesus. That is our goal. Because Jesus is on the move. Because Jesus is at work in our world, in us. Because if Jesus is not at work in us, what are we doing here, right? We shouldn't be here if Jesus is not at work in us, but He is. That's why we are gathered here. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we get together and we worship. Because Jesus is alive and Jesus is on the move. And when we share with people, when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to share what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus can do for them, that's how we as the church are unleashed. And so this week, I just want to invite, I want to maybe even challenge us to see how we can be unleashed for the betterment of our world. Where we can be Jesus' witnesses. And I don't know what that means for you in your situations. I don't know, maybe you're someone who has a group of friends or coworkers or maybe even family that doesn't even know that you're a Jesus follower, that they don't know that maybe you said one time way back when that you went to Bible study or a church on Sunday or something, but they don't see you as a Jesus follower. They don't even know. Maybe for you, that first step in being unleashed and being a witness for Jesus is just to help people see that you are someone that does the things you do because you follow Jesus. And it can be simple. It can be friends getting together and trying to schedule a brunch and saying, hey, could we schedule a Sunday brunch for after the noon hour? I go to church on Sunday. It doesn't have to be some, you know, we often think of those big stands and speeches that we all see in the movies that no one ever gives in real life, right? That's not where most of witnessing, most of sharing the good news comes from. It's those small moments of, hey, I go to church. Would you mind rescheduling this? Would you be interested in coming? Maybe you are in a different spot. Maybe you're somebody who's pretty comfortable sharing with people that you follow Jesus. But maybe you're comfortable talking about yourself as a Christian, but sharing the gospel, actually taking that step of saying, Jesus saved me, and Jesus can save you. Maybe that is the step that is hard for you, finding the words to say. There are practical resources that we can give, and if you are somebody that is interested in that, connect with me after the service. But I think more important by far is spending time in prayer and asking God, give me the right words to say. Holy Spirit, help me have the words to say to help somebody else understand the good news about you. And maybe finally, you're just somebody that's in need of encouragement. We all need encouragement from time to time. Every one of us do. And so if you are somebody who is in need of encouragement, this is what I say to you. Be unleashed on our world for its good. Be unleashed to help people know that Jesus saves, that Jesus loves them, and that Jesus came to show us love, grace, and mercy from God our Father. Wherever you are at, I want to invite you to pray. We're going to close with this little written prayer. I'm going to put it up on the screen here. I'm going to invite you to say this out loud with me, and we'll close our service this way this morning. Let's read it together out loud. Let's pray. Let's ask God to do this in us. Join with me. Holy Spirit, awaken me to God's love. Reveal where I fall short. Renew me by your grace. Unleash me to be a witness for Jesus in this world. Help me follow you. Amen. God, help us follow you. Help us be unleashed on this world for your good. This is what we ask. This is what we pray. Be with us, Lord. Church, go. Be unleashed. Celebrate. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Share the good news about Jesus our Lord this week. Blessings to you. Take care. Go in peace.